I want to preach about stewardship this morning, this week from God's Word, Stewardship 101, you might say, and next week, David Baines, having that as his main ministry, probably Stewardship 505, so that's going to be a real blessing to us. And I was checking our website, church website, and I got my stats wrong, actually. 2011, I had a couple messages on stewardship. So originally I thought it was 8 or 9 or I couldn't even remember. I had to look at the website there. So good information about how God owns everything. And one a generation that can be really helpful to us as we think of how God is over all is those who are over 60 years of age. Studies are done and it's found both in secular and Christian research that people who are 60 and over are by far the most generous and most grateful people of any particular age group. And I'm excited about that. I'm on the AARP mailing list. And so if I just went with the stats, I could say very soon I will become a generous person. But Lord willing, before that, okay? And I want to give some illustrations here, compliments of a Dr. Thomas from Geneva College about that particular age group influencing others. We'll go with some acronyms at first just to kind of get us in going in the right direction. An acronym is an abbreviation standing for a phrase. Okay, and as your mouth waters, that, of course, stands for Kentucky Fried Chicken, KFC. Okay, here's one watched, but perhaps people don't know exactly what it stands for. How many think they know exactly what the words stand for? I didn't know. I watch the dumb thing almost every day. Okay. Jeff, okay, very good. It actually stands for Entertainment Sports Programming Network. Now, if it went with that name, nobody would watch it. But with ESPN, a little more attractive there. And now, texting is something the young generation does. They send messages with acronyms. And, again, the folks 16 and above can jump in on that and influence. Well, that's that. LOL, for the young folks, laugh out loud. Okay, that's when you have something you say to somebody, and at least you think it's funny. And then what might a text from a 60-year-old be to another friend? FFD, friend fell down. Okay. That can occur. And this is a more traumatic one, I think. CFT, can't find teeth. We're almost there, and those are important. Just to tie in a ministry setting, you know, if you go to the hospital, please keep an eye on those hearing aids and teeth. They do. We've had people have to buy new ones after a trip to the doctor. And the last one, that is could be a text by senior citizens to other people, young whippersnapper. That's anybody who's not 60 years old or above. They are young whippersnappers needing to grow. So we want to grow in our stewardship by watching the older generation do what they do. Glad for what God gave them, thankful. Generally, they don't spend more than they make. Good stewardship principle. There was a teacher at Westminster College, economics teacher, he used to stand up on a table at the beginning of his semester and say, I'm going to teach you the basics of economics. Number one, work hard. Number two, spend less than you make. That's it. And, of course, God owns everything. That was a big part of that. But we can learn from that generation. The generation under 60 usually spends more spends money we don't have on things we don't need, buying from people we don't love, giving to people we don't love. A lot of missing links for stewardship there. Stewardship, from the Bible point of view, has three absolute truths. Because we believe in absolute truth, stick with it. Stick with it in terms of stewardship. First absolute truth, God owns everything. That's a tremendous truth, it'll set us free. God owns everything, what you have on today. your heartbeat, your next breath, the people in your life, the rusty car that still works. God owns everything. The moments of our lives, the moments in our days. Our times are in His hand, Psalm 31 says. And particularly when hard times come and tragedy and frustration or boredom, you might, opposite extreme, to remember who owns that moment. God owns the moment. You might think what you're going through is about the pain level that you have or the people around you who are not coming through for you or some terrible thing. Belongs to God. Give it to Him. He owns the moment. God owns everything. The earth is the Lord and everything in it. That includes daily experiences. And then God gives everything. Again, what do you have that you haven't received? Paul said to Corinthian believers. So all the spiritual gifts you have from the Lord and daily bread and friendships and Christian brothers and sisters, the gift of heaven, what do you have that you did not receive? A wonderful Savior Jesus, the person of the Holy Spirit in your life. What do you have that you did not receive? God owns everything. God gives everything. God's people are grateful and generous. That's the pattern in the Bible. It springs forth from gratitude for who Christ is. And 2 Corinthians 9 says, your generosity results in thanksgiving to God. So it's thankfulness that helps us take care of what God has given us. And the passage that Ron read shows gratitude three times as a quality of God's people, just in those three little verses. Christ's peace ruling, it says this, let the peace of Christ rule and be thankful. So that's a year-round attitude. And then, little plug for the choir here, Colossian choir, sing with gratitude in your hearts to God. So what would the choir director say to the choir? Sing with gratitude. What would God say to us as we have a song in our heart? And yeah, you're a good singer. God has given you a song in your heart. Sing with gratitude to God. And then for all of life's activity, here comes more gratitude. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God. So we thank the God. Thank the Lord. Speaking, listening, in the deeds that we do, give thanks to Him. And gratitude is a tremendous character quality for the Christian. It's something God wants to build into us. It's not listed as a fruit of the Spirit, but certainly it's a quality of people who have met Christ. Gratitude. The 10 lepers, the one was grateful. We could be the one who's grateful. And it's a part of our witness. You know, if I'm an ungrateful person, not contented, kind of just slumming my way through life, I will not introduce many people to Jesus as Savior. Okay, that gratitude will be missing. Just a glad, thankful person. And the Lord helps us be that way. Dr. Thomas from Geneva said, gratitude is learning to see everything as a miracle of God's grace. Boy, that's quite a thing. Everything that comes our way, a miracle of God's grace, His care for us, His presence. Thinking of things that are physical and things that are unseen, because both are from the Lord. Sometimes Christians, we throw the word around spiritual as if it had precedence over God's creation. Well, if God made the tree and the person, body sitting next to you, we're concerned about the person. And Jesus, of course, rose physically from the dead, not just spiritually. So He's concerned about the physical and that which is not seen. Gratitude for the miracles of God's grace. One blessing after the next. Grace upon grace. So we have friends, family, health, work. Work's a very spiritual thing. Very concrete. Bible. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, heaven, miracle of God's grace, spiritual gifts, daily bread, all those things. And as a Christian, we count our blessings, name them one by one, and it surprises us what God has done. Good quality from us. Here comes that happy steward when a person's like that. You become what the Bible calls a cheerful giver. You know, God gave us so much, so you pass on the love, the truth, the time, the talent, the treasure. And scientists at the University of California did an experiment, as they like to do, with three different groups of people. First group, they said, for a whole year, write down, at the end of the day, five things that happened to you today. Could be good, bad, or indifferent. Okay, five things happened to you today. I went to church. Not sure whether I put that good or bad. God puts it good. but your heart might vote one way or another. Now, second group, write down five bad things that happened. Oh, that's, might come up with 20. But write down five bad things you remember that day. That's the second group. Third group, write down five things that you're thankful for. Okay, thankful for. And then they did testing on the groups. How were they doing physically, emotionally, areas of responsibility, relationships? You know, they did all the whole total workup there. And the third group only excelled very well. Thankful group. They were the most excellent. This is what the study came up with, a bunch of secular guys. He said the third group was generally more alert, comes in handy, more joyful, okay, about life. Stronger immune system. I don't know if that's certainly not a guarantee, but your body's functioning much better when you live the way God created us to live, giving thanks to Him. Stronger immune system, more enthusiasm. I like this one. Improved cognitive functions. I wish I had known about the thankfulness when I was in high school. Grades. Okay, go. Improved cognitive function. More energy, less depression, more loving. More action-oriented people who are grateful. It's like, I'm ready to serve. You know, a grateful Christian is a serving Christian, is a joyful Christian. And how God can help us with that as a result of letting the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. So much to be thankful for. One gal tried to do the five blessings per day thing. And she determined not to repeat any blessings. So by the third day, she was getting frustrated because she kept wanting to put down some of the big ones. But she said, no, I'm not going to do that. There'd be five new ones every day. And you'd be surprised what happened. She started to see everything as an opportunity to thank God. Well, I thank God for candles. I never thanked them for the candles before. They do remind us of the light of the world, Jesus. And flowers here, that's, you know, it reminds us of Kathy Bourne's passing, the cross. I mean, she didn't have to look beyond, you know, 3 feet in any direction to come up with five things she was thankful for. Is that a strange way to live? Or is that a godly way to live? Not with rose-colored glasses. You still see pain more sharply. But you see God, He owns the moment. Remember that. And so the rest of the sermon, taking care of the resources God has given us, time, talent, and treasure. And I want to have you take a look at this. This is real helpful, I think. What the world thinks of, what God gives, and what Jesus thinks of stewardship. The world says, how much do you have? That's the big deal, right? How much do you have? One car, three, or none. Five talents, two talents, or one talent. What do you have? Jesus said, well, no, it's how you use what you have. That's most important. So you do this to honor God. The world is concerned about getting. Jesus is concerned about giving. Getting says this: this is mine. This is for me. Okay, that's getting. I use it for me. And if unfortunately, people outside the church look at Christian fellowships, they say that, you know, they're not for the community, they're for them. They're for them. They're forgetting this is our stuff. All this stuff in this is our stuff. God says, no, He owns everything. Honor Him, build up the people, bless others. So that's beyond getting to give, to pass on what God has given. Pass my love around, pick right up and take my brother's hand. Pass my love around. Also, the world is concerned about the amount. Jesus was concerned about the motive. Okay, the motive. And the amount can be tricky because we've advanced in math and record keeping and this and that and the other. It's possible for believers to get pretty OCD on the amount. OCD, that's monk. Monk-oriented. He's a character that he's focused on one particular detail. The amount. I don't know the exact reason, but in our bulletin, for example, the amount is listed on a regular basis. Divide the budget by 52, and this was for this, and this was for that, and it's the amount. Motive, we don't know about the motive. God knows about the motive. See, that's the important part in terms of what Jesus says. And then the world says gratification, using for self and ego. Jesus says it's a gift from God, used to give thanks and bless others. And then the world also says, what I have is for my comfort. And God says, what you have is for your consecration. You set it apart as 100% belonging to God and holy to Him. Holy to Him. There's great examples, even of younger generation who have consecrated what the Lord gave them. Francis Chan is one particular guy. He was a pastor of a church, and he got everybody in the church to say, our goal is to give away half of what the Lord provides. Really good goal based on love your neighbor as yourself. So that's one example. Rich Mullins, another example, wrote the song Awesome God. Felt God's calling in his life to live out of his car and to, you know, meet needs around him. Now, God's probably not calling you to live out of your car. But the point is to know it belongs to God and it can be used to help many and honor Him. And then another part of consecration is seeing our abilities as ways to honor God. Part of stewardship is realizing both in word and deed, in all that we do, we can give thanks to God and honor the Lord. When you dig a ditch and say, this is for Jesus the way I do this, I have the strength, I'm accomplishing a task, could be in your house, at work, or for a neighbor, it honors the Lord as much as you teaching a Sunday school class. Okay? Sometimes we think teaching Sunday school, that's spiritual, that's the Lord's work. The ditch, you know, you're just going to fill it up anyway, right? But from God's point of view, if you don't dig the ditch to honor Him, you're probably going to be a pretty lousy Sunday school teacher because you're going to be living in two different planets, as it were. You know, when you gather, it's the Christian planet, and when you're out and about, it's kind of neutral territory, which there is none in the universe. So to honor God with what you have to do, to study to honor God, to do the sports thing, the music thing, to honor God, all those opportunities, Christian service when the body gathers, of course, we do that as a equal calling from the Lord. And then just give some biblical patterns of stewardship. Real important, real basic. Giving honors the Lord and be joyful and sacrificial as Christ sacrificed everything for us. I think it was King David in the Old Testament said, I don't want to give to God an offering that costs me nothing. Okay. In other words, he wanted it to be, this means something to me and to God, and honor Him as such. Make it a time of worship, the offering is a worship time. Melchizedek offered, was given, by the way, rather, an offering by Abraham in the context of saying, I thank God for God. And this goes to him. So when you're giving on a Sunday morning, you're always given to the Lord. You're not given ultimately to the church. You're not given to a specific ministry. If you're only excited, you know, when you're given to your favorite ministry, you should be excited about giving to the Lord, because he really shines through any favorite ministry you have. But that's a big deal. Plan is better than haphazard. 1 Corinthians 16, Paul said, on the first day of the week, set aside something according to your income and give to God. So there's a plan there, not impulsive. You and I have a plan for paying bills. We're not haphazard in that. We're to do that thankfully and joyfully. When you pay the bill for your gas company, your light company, you probably do it not singing praises to God, right? You don't have the praise music on. You're thinking, Lord of heaven and earth, here's $300 for the gas company. Where do you think the gas came from? It came from the Lord. You bet most of the world would be glad to have the resources you have coming through your neighborhood. A plan to honor God better than haphazard. And the basic Bible standard, really throughout primarily the Old Testament, giving 10% is a Bible standard. It's a way to say everything belongs to God and we respect Him. We respect Him. Now, Jesus here yelled at those who tithed in Matthew chapter 23. When I read that, I was thinking, I thought you were supposed to, you know, recruit tithers. Jesus is yelling at the tithers. And so he's yelling at all six of you there, you might say. That was... but what he does is he says, look, you're tithing, but you're not doing the more important things. Wait a minute. I thought tithing was at least in the top five. Where'd you get that at? Maybe whoever taught you that, listen to Jesus' teaching all the time. But Jesus yells at the tithers and says, hey, tithing is good, but you have to have mercy. And you have to appreciate God's faithfulness. And you have to love. That was my story when I was a young Christian. One of the easiest things I did. Man, I was 16 years old. I thought, I could tithe. That's easy. $10 from cutting the grass, $1 in the offering plate. How hard could it be? You know, I didn't read the Bible much. I didn't pray much. Didn't love my neighbors. But I was Mr. Tithe. And so Jesus would yell and say, hey, get your priorities straight. Put the most important things first. How you trust me, how you treat people. That's where it is. Of course, tithing is promoted in 10 books of the Old Testament. For whatever reason, in God's providence, God chose not to mention tithing in any of the writings sent to churches that the Holy Spirit inspired from Peter, James, John, or Paul. They were dealing with very important things. Now the Lord even thought, well, that'll come easily. That's such a simple standard. Maybe God's people will, their gratitude will just take over at that point. I think that's kind of what the Lord emphasized. The gratefulness is something that really honors Him. And Jesus, again, in terms of the giving part, He said, don't just clean the outside of the cup. Clean the inside of the cup, referring to our soul. And I think we could pray to God in terms of stewardship in all our shortcomings. We could say, Lord, clean the inside of the cup. Okay. Who would have thought Jesus' teaching on stewardship would turn into a examination of the heart in terms of worship and loving your neighbor? Lord, please clean the inside of my cup that I might honor you in stewardship. And then, of course, attitude is more important than amount. That's what Jesus is expressing. And to give ourselves first to God and then to the work of God. That's so important. Great quote by a missionary, C.T. Studd, who gave away pretty much all he had to serve Christ. He said, if Christ is God and died for me, no sacrifice I make for him is too great. That's a fantastic quote. Very New Testament oriented. Jesus dies for us, rises from the dead. No sacrifice we make is too great for him. We might say, where do I start? Hey, Jesus was a tither, right? He fulfilled the law. Do you want to be a follower? Do what the leader's doing. Follow the leader in there. But do so out of a grateful heart, and being grateful not because, you know, God needs the help or even ministries would fall apart without our gift, but rather to give because it shows a healthy relationship with God. You know, because we really need to learn how to give. As you're raising children and teenagers and young adults, you say, let me teach you how to be a grateful steward, because that's a reflection of a heart that has received Christ. And so to be that way, to honor the Lord, he can help us with it. We know this is one of the weak areas in the Christian life. We're probably a little bit better than the world, but not much. And our point is not to have a righteousness of our own, but to be transformed by the good news of Christ in this real important area, simple area, good area. Let God own your moments and your talent and your treasure. And gratitude will flow from our souls. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. It's faithful to point us to you, Jesus. And we can have your peace rule in our hearts. Give thanks, and in the word or deed, be grateful. And then to see things, Lord, from your point of view. Interesting, as we go through the New Testament, Father, different things that we get excited about simply aren't highly stressed. We look for amounts, there's no amounts. We look for records, there's no records. But there's a lot about motive, a lot about the heart, a lot about the faithfulness of Jesus changing lives. Might we rejoice in you and the freedom you bring. Thank you for the glad generosity of you, dear Lord, and your dear people, who throughout history have honored God, first by giving themselves to Christ and then to his wonderful work. Help us to see ourselves as co-laborers with you, joint heirs with you. Certainly no room for jealousy or covetousness or stinginess from somebody who's a joint heir with Christ. So bless each one here, Father, with a good trust and obey attitude toward yourself. In your name we pray. Amen.